Good evening. Thank you for coming. Hey, I thought of, I have like a funny riddle, okay? Three of them, can I ask that? Two of them I made it up myself. One I found it, okay? And when God came in Genesis, like, you know, he came looking for Adam, and Adam was hiding, and God asked the question, "Where are you, Adam?" What, before Adam responded, what did he think in his heart? This garden is under CCTV surveillance. That's what he thought in his heart. It's like, God knows everything. And okay, that was, I don't know if that was like really funny, but one more is, Boaz, before he found Ruth, what was he like? He was ruthless, yeah. That's right. That's perfect. last one is, what happened to Samson when he started taking multivitamins? His hair grew back. That was very good. Very, you're a very sharp crowd. Very good. Okay. All right. For CCT. I am on CCT. Yeah. Okay. For our message, let us turn our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. All right. We'll read about three verses from 8. If these things be in you, what things? What Peter had just mentioned in 4, 5, and 6, adding to the faith different qualities like our life in sanctification, growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, right? Adding to faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, all those good qualities, right? And if these things be in you and you abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 9, but he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Okay? That's pretty clear. And has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. This is, okay, and last one in 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence, means make every effort, take deliberate action to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. This word is the calling of God is very close to us, very important to the life of the believer, right? Because God calls us, God called us to be saved first, and then God calls us then to know Him, and that is what we call discipleship. And God calls us furthermore. He puts us in a body and plants us as a member in particular. And we have body life, an exchange of life between believers. And then God calls us like together and individually. God calls us to reach out, right? To reach out, go bearing the good news Sarvana called me a couple of days ago. I love it that he calls me just random every now and then and builds me up. He quoted Psalm 126. He said, those who go forth bearing precious, I think something like that, bearing precious seed will doubtless return, like, you know, with sheaves. Means there will be a harvest. The word that is sown will not go waste. The gospel that is shared will have its effect. God will use these things, right? We want to look at this and pay attention to that one in this message, to that one phrase: give diligence to make your calling and election sure. How? We can look at the life of David a little bit and then see what happens. Can we flip your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 25, and then we'll read a few verses in four or five verses in 1 Samuel 25. And the whole thing is this: the issue is, God is saying salvation is the starting point for the believer, and now I want to build character in you. I want to build character. What is it? Character is not just like personality. Personality is how a person is on the outside, superficially, right? Or like disposition, we say. Character is what God builds in the inner man, okay? So we'll see how we bring out the meaning of this, how God builds character in us. Yeah. 1 Samuel 25 is the story of David when he and his encounter with a guy called Nabal and his wife Abigail, and that story. And maybe you have read this, maybe not, but we'll go through it. What happened with the first part of David's life is he's anointed to be king by God, and Samuel anoints him, and then King Saul chases him around, right? And then in this 25 verse 1, it starts with this: and Samuel died. Before Samuel died, David, it was said, where Saul would ask, where is David? And they would say, he's with Samuel. So I was like, okay. There is a great sense of rest, right? To like, in spite of being chased, you know, for your life, hunted after or something, I'm with Samuel. But Samuel died. And here in a place called Carmel, verse 3. Now, there was a man there was a man by name Nabal. Okay, he had great possessions, many sheep, goats, and he was a sheep shearer in Carmel. And 3, his name was Nabal, and his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding, beautiful countenance, but the man was curlish, not girlish, but he was rude, rough, nuts, and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. Very different from Caleb, though. And then this is what happened. David was in the wilderness. He is struggling a little bit with the guys who are with him, David and his men. So he calls out to, we won't read through the chapter, but he calls out to help him, give some supply, help. So he sends 10 men to Nabal and asks him, look at the verse 8. So David's servants go to Nabal in 8 and ask him, thy young men, and they will show you. Wherefore let the young men find favor in your eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray you, whatsoever comes to your hand, to your servants, and to your son David. Yeah? He is saying, we helped you, your sheep. I helped your sheep shearers. I took care of them. They were with us. They were protected. So can you also show the same kindness and favor and give us something, whatever comes to your hand? And in 10, Nabal answers David's servants and says, who is David and who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Okay? He is not thinking the same way, right? He is more like, he's speaking like through like an allegory. He's like saying, there be many servants who break away from their master. He doesn't say David, but it's pretty clear. And then, so he's saying, I won't give it. Like, you know, who is this guy? But here is what happens in 14. A young man from one of those sheep shearers of his household tells Abigail, his wife, about the whole incident and tells them that in 16, they were a wall unto us both by day and night. All the while we were with them keeping the sheep. So they are saying, yes, they were very good with us, but now we are going to have problems if David comes and, like, you know, and takes revenge, maybe. Then in 18, Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, I think, and wine, raisin, corn, all the stuff, figs, all right? And next, she, go on before me, I come after you, but she told not her husband. Yeah, she didn't take permission. She was like, what? Seemingly she was like, you know, disobeying or something, or I don't know. And then, but this is David's attitude. David is now angry, right? In 21, he's saying, surely in vain have I kept all this that this fellow has in the wilderness. Surely I did this for a waste, and nothing was missed of all that pertained to him, and he has given me evil for good. And then Abigail meets him on the way, and then tells him, let not my lord, I pray, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, she's speaking of her own husband, and as his name is, so is he, and his name is folly, foolishness. But I, your handmaid, saw not the young man whom you sent, and she gives the supplies, like, you know, refreshes them. But she also says this in 28, I pray, forgive the trespass of your handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil has not been found in thee all your days. Okay? Thank you for your patience. So this is the thought. David, just before this, he has this attitude, right? I will not touch Saul. Doesn't matter what happens, I will not touch Saul, because he's the Lord's anointed, right? And but in this chapter, his attitude is, I will not spare Nabal. I will get that guy. And here's Abigail intercedes, right? Abigail intercedes for her husband, And she just not only intercedes for her husband, but she also intercedes for David. That's the thought, right? She also intercedes for David. And so here's it. David wouldn't venture to touch the Lord's anointed, but that is in the case of Saul. But he himself, being the Lord's anointed, needed someone to intercede for him to show that he does not need to stoop down to that level to like squabble, to like a fleshly squabble. All right? This is a very good thought for us to like consider for ourselves. Okay, I will not touch, it's like two, okay, Lord's anointed, but also consider yourself. Like, I have a believer priesthood, and there is, okay, I will not stoop to a certain like level to have a squabble, fleshly squabble with Nabal. But at that point, he didn't see it. He needed Abigail to intercede, right? Just to close with three more thoughts. Nabal is like a picture of someone who has, we spoke in the class, frozen categories, or like someone who is hardened in his own ways, right? It's interesting to see how he died later on. He's just, or we can say, a conscience that no more responds to God, and God is at best only a religious exercise. Like, it doesn't make a difference to my personal life, but we'll just go through the motions with God, but I'm set in my own ways. That is a picture of Nabal. And Abigail is a picture of the intercessor, okay? People who intercede for us, people who invest in us, people who pray for us. Why Psalm 18, David says, thy gentleness has made me great. Why do we like David's story so much? Because he was a grace man. How did he become a grace man? Because of all the people in his life, right? And then his attitude towards them. Okay? So this is the thought about character. Character is built when, like, the situations and people in our lives that God uses to build a settled conviction of the truth we have received. Okay? That builds character. That builds, it's not something I can manufacture on my own. And to David, he learned a lesson with this. Wait, okay, thank you, God. Grace never incurs a debt. Like, you know, he doesn't have to be kind to me even though I was kind to him. And so it takes discipleship, right? Is about like we learn how to think in grace. So this is one example where David learned some area of what it means to think in grace. So also you and I, isn't it? And the other last thing is, it takes, now the one credit for David is he listened to the lady, right? Imagine, I'm the anointed king. I'm like I have to listen to a lady. What about my big ego, right? But that's one thing. He didn't let his ego get in the way, but he listened to what she had to say. And here is the thought. Beautiful last verse we'll read in same chapter 29, verse 29. Yet a man is risen to pursue you and to seek your soul. But the soul of my Lord, this is Abigail speaking to David, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord your God, and the souls of your enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. Abigail is also using an allegory here, and she is edifying him and saying, okay, like the Lord fights your battles and you fight the battles of the Lord, don't get into a fleshly squabble. It's not worth it. You have bigger fish to fry. And David sees the sense in this. And then, it's one thing for David to go out against Goliath, right? I will take your head off. And here it's like, you know, he needed that intercession to tell him, I don't have to go after Nabal with that in that same way. Yeah? He's not the enemy. Perfect. So, let us think of that same phrase, right? Making or giving all diligence, using every effort that we can to make our calling and election sure means let God build character in us. And the context where that character is built is right here in this body of Christ. The very reason why you came in the rain, right? Fighting all the challenges to come here and be built up and to add to one another. So we'll pray and close, but also it's the day of prayer and fasting for our church around the world. So it can be a time of prayer. So dear Lord, thank you so much for this time. We pray, God, that you would show us how to be a good listener, how to hear, teach us humility, teach us the way of the cross. Thank you so much for each and every person you have added in our lives, people who care, God, through whom we see the much more care of God. Bless this day, Lord, in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.